Have you ever thought about how many times we see in God's Word, God said, or thus saith the Lord? Jesus saith, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit speaketh expressively. Or, as we know in the letters to the seven churches of Asia, each one ended with what? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, this is important because God speaks to us not in a literal voice, not today, not as it was in the Old Testament times, with the patriarchs, and God, of course, revealed to the prophets His Word. But today, we have the complete revelation of God in the Holy Scriptures, and thus God is speaking to us through His Holy Word. And it would behoove us to listen, to heed, to obey what God has said. So this morning, and hopefully, Lord willing, next week, we want to study the phrase, God said. As we'll start out in Genesis chapter 1 in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we all know that that stands for preparing for eternity. That's what we must be doing to do what God would have us to do. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. That's here in Martinsville, to study with us in our Bible classes. Of course, we're studying God's precious Word. And as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern, but also with a proper attitude. That would be in spirit and in truth, as John 4:24 reveals. Now, I can assure you, you will receive a warm welcome, and there's no doubt about that. Something else to mention, if you are interested in studying the Bible together, we'll sit down at your convenience and open up God's Word and study together. And if you have Bible questions, feel free to write to us. Comments, they're welcome, positive or negative. So again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And the times of our services are listed at the end of the program. And one other thing, that would be our website address, www.MorganStreetChurchOfChrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. God said. In Genesis chapter 1, God is introduced. His name is found 32 times. This is the most God-centered chapter found in the Bible. Well, modernists and liberals, they attack the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the books of law, as sometimes we refer to them as that term, and especially these liberals, these modernists, they would like to do away with Genesis chapter 1 altogether. But you see, true science will never be in conflict with God's word. But false science will. Of course it will. 1 Timothy 6:20 bears that out. Science falsely called that. And we have a number of people stating things are fact when indeed they're hypothesis. They're theorizing. Maybe, possibly, that's not true science. And of course, evolution, the hypothesis of evolution, has to be false if the Bible is true. And the Bible is true. The evidence is there for all to consider. And anyone that thinks they evolved from lower species are going to have a hard time in presenting one fact. It's not there. It's never been there, and it never will be there. Because there is no in-between stages to be observed. Have you ever seen a half monkey, half man? No. There's no indication of evolution occurring today, and nor is there in the fossil record. It's not there. Our young people need to know what is the truth, and they need to know what God said. They need to know about the first chapter of Genesis, where God is introduced. And they need to know that creation occurred in 6 literal days. Not eons of time. No gap. But in 6 literal days, God spoke and creation was brought forth. And so, this morning we're going to be concerned with these 2 vitally important words found in the Holy Bible, God said. And certainly the authority of God's word needs to be emphasized. As we go to Genesis chapter 1, we'll find the words God said 10 times. Look at it. Verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, verse 26, verse 28, verse 29. God said, "Let us make man in our own image," indicating plurality of the Godhead. We are made in the image of God. Thus we did not evolve from lower species. We have a mind. We can reason, comprehend. We can appreciate beauty. And we have a soul that's worth more than all the world. What were the results of God said? The miraculous creation. Yes. It was miraculous for God to speak. The second person of the Godhead spoke and matter came into existence. And the crown of God's creation was woman, taken from Adam's side, a rib which God used to create woman. And that's the crown of God's creation. And so we need to appreciate Genesis chapter 1 and accept it as it is and not reject the authority of God's word. We don't want to make Jesus a liar, do we? Since he quoted from Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, as you go to Matthew chapter 19, what do we find here with verses 4 and 5? "And he," that is Jesus, "answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Verse 6. How many people are going against what God said? So many do that. So very many, sad to say. But the point is, Jesus is certainly quoting from Genesis, the first and second chapter. Now, God said is the foundation of creation. We need to emphasize that. And we need to emphasize this too. God said is the foundation of revelation. And notice with me Exodus 4, 1 through 4, because I want to point out God's revelation to man was always verified. And here's an example with Moses in the Old Testament as we go to Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. That is the Israelites he's referring to. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, had appeared unto thee. And of course, God has given verification in so many ways, as we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Mark 16:20, And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. In Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. You see, God confirmed his word. God said is the foundation of revelation. So throughout history, we can see how man has sought the unknown in various ways, and what has happened, deceivers are with an opportunity to prey upon those with a desire for hidden knowledge. We've got to be careful about that. What God has revealed is important, but what God has not revealed, you know, we've got to be careful that we don't become prey to some deceiver. How many people have misused the revelation, just fitting it to everything they think it ought to fit, not keeping it in the context of the first century with Christians being persecuted, put to death? Well, notice now Deuteronomy 18:9-11. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Well, how many people are going to folks like this today that are using divination, enchantments and wizardry and all that stuff. How many people are looking at their astrology chart, their sign, you know, and all of this, and see what I need to do today or not do today? How many people pour countless dollars into these materials? Well, they're being deceived. Psychics are deceiving people. Fortune tellers, all that stuff. You see, we need to stay with what the Lord said, what God said. Well, notice the contrast in this same chapter, Deuteronomy 18, between what God said, which is His revelation to man, and those who were false prophets, deceiving the people. We go now to verse 18 of Deuteronomy 18. I will raise them up a prophet, capital P, from among their brethren, like unto thee, speaking of Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. God said this. So we see the results of rejecting what God said being cut off. But let's go on in our study. God said is the foundation of inspiration. The written word, all scripture, reveals what God said. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 2, and notice verses 9 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 13. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that is, teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That is a passage dealing with the inspiration of God's Word. Now notice 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Excuse me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed the word inspiration there, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, not sinless perfect, but complete, mature, in the faith. The Word of God thoroughly furnishes us with all things unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3, for example. So, the inspiration of the Scriptures confirms that the Holy Bible is the divine revelation from the mind of God and not the words of men. So, we must submit to the authority of the Scriptures. We're under the law of Christ. We're not under the patriarchal law. God's not speaking directly to us in an audible voice. We're not under the law of Moses that was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. But we're under the law of Christ. And thus we need to have the authority of the New Testament, the pattern that God has given us. And anyone who rejects the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures rejects what God said. We need to understand that. Again, anyone who rejects the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures rejects what God said. Now let's go on. God said is the foundation of prophecy. All prophecy rests on what God said. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, the prophets are not giving their private interpretation. Notice, for the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, of course, the third person of the Godhead. Now, Moses, by inspiration, revealed the difference between a true prophet and a false one. As we go back to Deuteronomy 18 and pick up with verse 21 and 22. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. That's the difference, isn't it? Now, excuse me. Modernists attack the date of the book of Isaiah because they do not believe the inspiration of the Bible, and they want to deny the miracles. But in Isaiah 7:14, this is what God said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, in the King James it's a virgin, but in the Hebrew this is the virgin. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we go now to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll see the fulfillment, verses 20 through 23. But while he thought on these things, Joseph that is, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord, notice that, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin, but again, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So yes, God said is the foundation of prophecy. And something else we want to bring out sorry, something else to bring out here before I lose my voice. God said is the foundation of our knowledge of God. The creation declares a creator. We're not talking about nature. We're talking about God, of course, the creator. And our knowledge of God begins with Genesis chapter 1. And so, without God's revelation, we cannot know God. We know there's a creator because we have a creation to observe. But we're not able to know his will unless he reveals that to us, which he has through his word. Notice Acts 17, 22 and 23. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." That's a prime example, isn't it? We ought to know what God said. We need to know the revelation of God from the Holy Scriptures and stay with it. Have authority from the Scriptures of the New Testament for what we do in our worship and the organization of the church and the work of the church. And of course, what we're to do in order to become a child of God. We need to stay with the pattern. And to do that, we have to know what the Word of God says. What did God say we're to do in order to become a child of His? Well, we first have to hear the truth. Hear the Word of God. What did God say? Romans 10:17, that's how our faith comes. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Except ye believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Having believed that Jesus is the Christ, we're now motivated to repent. That's what God said we must do. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. So we must get out of sinful living and do the will of God. Now we're ready to make the good confession, stating Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That's unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Once we have stated Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, we're ready to be immersed, to be buried in a watery grave, to contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As we come up out of the water, he then adds us to his body, the true church. As you see in Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." And of course, Acts 2:47 is where we're added to the body of Christ, the true church, by the Lord himself. And we thank you so much for listening today.